Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Top Stories. This is producer Chris. In February 2020, there was one big question we were all worrying about. Just how worried did we need to be? If only we'd known. It's Bugle issue 4142, Kalashnikov.
Top story this week, virus updates. The naughty little coronavirus continues to worm its virusy way around the world. We've had the first cases in sub-Saharan Africa, in Wales, even in New Zealand. The global markets are noisily crapping themselves. The Dow Jones has gone slumper-dump down over 10%. The FTSE in London has experienced its biggest one-week flop down since 2008. $5 trillion have been wiped off the value of the world's financial markets. Admittedly, that is money that didn't really exist. But now it exists even less. The world is being told not to panic, which is generally a sign that panicking is very much an on-the-table option. It is a strange time. We don't quite know. I think the thing is we don't know the exact right amount to panic.
I mean, yeah, the problem with we don't know if we're worrying too much. The possibilities being that it will spread virulently, mutate to be more deadly, and be the solution to global overpopulation that only sociopaths think about, or it will stay relatively contained or spread and be bad, but not all that bad, all things considered, in which case everyone will be embarrassed about wearing masks and being xenophobic about Chinese tourists as it runs around the world like a toddler rounding around the playground going, catch me, catch me. But of course, as you say, the real worry with the impact of the coronavirus is its impact on the health of the market. If only the Dow Jones index could wear a face mask.
I mean, we still don't know. Is this going to be the most dangerous cough since the Kalashnikov? Or is it going to be less dangerous than that everyday activities like crossing the road? Or is it going to be as dangerous as crossing the road if that road is an eight-lane motorway packed with speeding zombies and flame-throwing megatanks? The global markets, NATO, I know you're a huge fan of global markets and all their forms. They've been thoroughly spooked.
Yeah, well, you know, as a comedian, like, we're all trying to figure out how to go viral, but not like this. I was thinking more Instagram. Andy, I know you like a stat, so you want the latest stat?
Go on, then.
On coronavirus?
Yeah.
This morning, a poll came out that 38% Americans say that they won't buy Corona beer because of the coronavirus.
Oh, no.
So the latest poll is that 41.5% of American adults approve of Trump as president. Both polls have a 3% margin of error, so you can reasonably deduce that there's a lot of overlap between people who approve of Trump and people scared of Corona beer because of the coronavirus. This is especially amazing because Corona is a Mexican beer, and yet the coronavirus is stoking anti-Chinese racism. So not only are they stupid, but they're bad at racism.
I mean, it's a terrible beer to not want to have, the Corona beer, because it's the only one that'll stop you getting scurvy as well, with the lime in the top.
All right.
Is that a thing that they do in America?
Right. Yes. We're focused on containing the scurvy outbreak. So If you are so racist that you can't tell the difference between Mexican beer and a Chinese virus, you might be a Trump administration cabinet secretary.
I mean, you might be thinking also with the global financial market situation, if it's a good idea to have based our entire economic viability and stability as a planet on a system that shits its britches at what might or might not happen whenever a new disease pops up. Well, if you're thinking that, I would simply advise you to remember who won the Cold War, and at least it's more sensible than crashing the planet for a bunch of fucking tulips, as our so-called forebears famously did some time ago. I mean, obviously, the big concern is the cancellation of sporting events, which is accelerating. Six Nations rugby game between Ireland and Italy has been called off. The Olympics, seemingly under greater threat, is nothing. So mass gatherings in general are facing being preemptively degathered. Generally, it's not going to affect me because I'm an antisocial bastard who spends most of his time alone in a shed. But sport. Sport out of it.
Sport and the arts. Carnivale in Venice has been cancelled, and therefore all unexpected pregnancies for the next 3 weeks in Italy. And even more importantly than the health of the markets and sport is the effect of, you know, what's being called COVID-19 on the presidential race in America, whether the global panic will lead voters to stick with the incumbent or whether they'll blame Trump for his policies of taking money out of health services and pulling money out of the pandemic response sectors of the government, or whether he'll tweet about it and somehow blame it on Obama. We don't know. We'll find out when somebody's campaign starts to run a high fever.
NATO, how have you been dealing with the news that America's efforts to defend itself against the virus have been entrusted to Mike Pence?
So a few things. Mike Pence works with Health Secretary Alex Azar. Alex Azar said that the vaccine to the coronavirus may not be affordable. And this is a fascinating take on Trumpian ideology, because their priority typically is to help the rich people stay healthy and let the poor die, and they think they will cull the herd, but that's not actually how f***ing infectious disease works. Virus doesn't go traipsing through your neighborhood and see the Tesla in the driveway and check your credit score and say, oh, carry on then.
It's not the blood on the door frame.
Yeah, it's not Passover, dummy. So if you don't want to give poor people the medicine, who do they think makes their food? Like, it's not all Jamie Oliver and Nigella Lawson doing all the cooking in America. Like, it's mostly poor people. So Trump has tapped Mike Pence to lead the response to coronavirus. Vice President Mike Pence, this raises concerns because he does not believe in science. Actually, that's unfair. Mike Pence believes he would have been on the cutting edge of science for the 17th century.
Also, the problem with Mike Pence is, you know, he's not a good person to lead up this campaign, because you have to have somebody who's afraid of the coronavirus in order to combat it. And he's not afraid of the coronavirus because he's a man made out of a statue of a statue. Only partially brought to life by a kiss of someone who didn't love him that much.
As governor of Indiana, Mike Pence cut funding for public health and prevented the establishment of a needle exchange program, which led to an outbreak of HIV. So his plan to stop the spread of the coronavirus is to give it AIDS, which may not work out. Other cutting-edge medical solutions Mike Pence is looking at to stop the spread of the coronavirus include leeching, exorcism, shame, flogging, burning at the stake, lime juice and gin, and blaming the Jews. And because he's a racist and doesn't like immigrants, he doesn't know what everyone in Latin America knows, that the one thing that you need to stop the coronavirus or any disease or affliction at all is Vicks VapoRub.
I mean, experts have said that Mike Pence is, quote, not up to the task of leading America's virus war, a point of view echoed by non-experts, indeed anyone with a vaguely functioning head. For me, Mike Pence versus the coronavirus, that's not reassuring, that appointment. That's as reassuring to me as appointing Seabiscuit as a the head surgeon in a cranial trauma unit.
isn't Mike Pence versus the coronavirus the new Godzilla movie?
I think it is. Well, Seabiscuit is not only a horse, but is also a dead horse who, when alive, was mostly concerned with running as fast as possible. So there's a number of qualities you don't want in a surgeon: hooves, an urge to sprint, and being already dead. It just sends a bad message, like being an optician with two monocles of different thicknesses. But for me, I'd say, hearing that Mike Pence has been put in charge of the coronavirus effort is like being stuck on a desert island down to your last few drops of water with no food for days. Finally, you see a ship appearing over the horizon, sailing to your rescue. It gets closer and closer, and the prospect of your being saved makes your heart beat stronger in your chest. And just as it pulls to shore, you realise it's not a ship, it's Mike Pence. And Trump, as well, I mean, what the leadership qualities required in a crisis like this are calmness, honesty, and reassuring the leadership, which are, to be honest, around the world, qualities that have proved electorally toxic. And Trump, calm and reassuring honesty go together like a seagull and an aeroplane propeller. And this was another thing coming out of the White House. The acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, he's accused the media of stoking a panic in an effort to take down Trump on the grounds that impeachment failed. And his advice for the panicking markets was to say, turn off your televisions for 24 hours. That's what we need in this world. Just ignore everything.
I like that he thinks anyone gets the news from television anymore.
Thanks for listening, Buglers. Look in a mirror. Tell yourself you're great. Blow yourself a kiss. Flex your biceps. You don't look that bad, do you? You're great.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.